This is episode 330 of the To Birth and Beyond podcast.
We're so excited to have you with us on this episode of To Birth and Beyond. I'm Jessie Mundell, mom, kinesiologist, and fitness coach to pregnant and current moms.
And I'm Anita Lambert, mom, pelvic health, and orthopedic physiotherapist with a focus on women's health. On the show, we provide information and education on fitness, the pelvic floor, fertility, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and women's health. We offer a brave space to have candid and vulnerable conversations on the struggles and joys of motherhood, including all aspects of our physical, mental, and emotional health.
While you're listening in, please remember that the information on the show is not meant to diagnose or treat any medical conditions. Please speak with your medical provider for all things related to your healthcare.
We're so excited to have you. Let's dive into today's show.
Welcome back to the To Birth and Beyond podcast. It's Anita here. Thought it'd be helpful to share about something that I go through with my prenatal physio clients, my students in Bump to Birth, and also that I went through in my recent live prenatal pelvic floor masterclass. Now, if you missed the live class, I'll leave a link to the on-demand version in the show notes so you can catch up and watch it as well. And what I wanted to talk about is the missing link or the missing piece for many when it comes to birth prep. And that's around practicing. So both you and your partner practicing strategies when it comes to labor and pushing, you know, when it comes to partners, how they can support you. This just often comes up with my second and third time moms, whether in clinic or in Bump to Birth, or I've received many DMs from so many of you on Instagram that the first time around, you may have taken a, you know, basic hospital prenatal course or a quick online prenatal course. And yes, it gave you some basic information, but it was kind of being lectured at. So you would take some information in and then feeling like, okay, this should be all I really need to do. And then you get to Labor Day and you realize that things that you learned maybe don't come to mind. And I find for partners, that's a big thing, is they had learned some strategies, but because they never practiced them, they didn't actually feel confident in actually using those on Labor Day. So that's really what I wanted to go through today. And if you're a client of mine and you're listening, or you're in Bump to Birth, or you've been in any of my workshops, you know, this is a big thing that I talk about because it does really make such a big difference when it comes to your actual birth experience. And often with those kind of quick courses or maybe a bit of research you did online, there's no reminders to practice or what to practice leading up to birth. So that's where taking in that information, yes, is helpful and yes, is a part of birth prep, but I just really want the focus of today's episode is to be that reminder around practicing. So I'm going to give you some strategies for that as well. Another thing I find a lot of times those who are expecting for the first time is you may have that assumption or expectation that your care provider, so your midwife or your doctor, is going to provide that labor prep. Whereas you may have noticed if you're at the end of your pregnancy, that's really not a focus of their appointments. There's other things that they need to accomplish in those appointments and they just really aren't able to, or that's really not their purpose is providing that specific labor prep or what to practice. So that's where it comes down to learning different options, different resources that are available to you, and then choosing one or more than one that you feel like is a good fit. I'll give you a non-birth example for you to see why this is important. So for my master's in physiotherapy, I went to McMaster University. If there are any Mac grads listening, you know how awesome that school is. And the reason why I really wanted to do my physiotherapy degree there is because it's around problem-based learning. So a lot of the learning we did, yes, we did have lectures, we had to do a ton of research, but a lot of the ways we learned was through actual real life scenarios. Whether it was, you know, practicing face-to-face with like a fake client, or in a group setting, we would talk through how we would apply the research and the material we learned in lecture to a real life scenario. So then when we graduated and we dove into our physiotherapy profession, that wasn't the first time that we were learning to problem solve through client symptoms, getting to their goals. That was such the focus of our education, which then made diving into our profession that much easier. That's what I found personally, is that there wasn't this big shift when we went into practice. Yes, there were learning curves when it came to that, but for the most part, that wasn't actually a big shift because of really how we learned and we practiced and we learned strategies and we really used them well in school. And then when we were out in the real world, we were able to use them much easier. And that's where it comes to with birth. So I'll give you some examples of things to consider. And some of these might be familiar if you've practiced them, or maybe you've learned about them, but you haven't practiced yet. And this is your reminder to start practicing them, whether they're labor strategies for yourself or whether your partner is also needing to practice these as well. So one of them would be hands-on strategies. And this would be where your partner comes in. So double hip squeeze, sacral pressure. This is where your partner is applying pressure around your pelvis on certain points of your pelvis during a contraction or a surge, and then hands off in between. Now, if you have a doula, the benefit can be that your doula can also trade off with your partner, because especially if you really want those hands-on strategies during labor, it can get very tiring. However, I always tell partners, you do not get to complain because you're not going through labor. If you are the one going through labor and you want hip squeezes every contraction for hours, then whoever is supporting you needs to figure out how to get that done, because that's going to help you move through a contraction. So your partner may have heard of, or you may have heard of, if you've done one of the kind of basic prenatal classes, hip squeezes, double hip squeeze and sacral pressure, maybe you practiced them, or maybe you just saw a picture or video and then thought, okay, yeah, that makes sense why I would do that. And just thinking it's going to make sense on Labor Day. But what I've seen over and over with my clients and my students is where the confidence comes in, and where you're not having to think twice about it on Labor Day, is practicing. So really, really make sure your partner knows how important it is to practice these strategies as well, because if your partner is confident in these hands-on strategies, then it also increases your confidence and lessens your stress going into birth, because you feel like, okay, I've got this support team that is going to be able to help me with certain strategies. So you don't have to think about that. So that is one type of strategy to think about and practice lots ahead of time. Plus with those two, the double hip squeeze and sacral pressure can actually give you some relief in pregnancy too. They're very safe to be practicing during pregnancy. So it's one of those strategies that's worth it to both of you to practice. Now, another thing to think about is breathing strategies. So I find many hear about that to some degree, that yes, deep breathing can be helpful during labor. I feel like it's one of the best strategies, because you really don't need anything or anyone else, right? You may need someone to remind you to tune into your deep breathing, especially if you're starting to tense up with contractions that you might not really notice, but just having that supportive voice and using whatever language you want them to use to remind you to tune into deep breathing is very, very helpful. Now, where the practice comes in is practicing those deep breathing strategies during pregnancy. So one of the ones my clients use quite a bit is the flower bloom breath. And this is around learning to connect your breath to relax your pelvic floor. Because if you think of labor and pushing, you want to think of opening the door for baby to exit. So you don't want to be thinking of tightening during the actual event of birth. Yes, it definitely is helpful in pregnancy and postpartum to know how to contract and relax your pelvic floor. But when it comes to the actual event of birth, learning how to relax your pelvic floor is just really, really key. So maybe you've heard about this, or you might have heard of it and you're like, I'm not really sure how to do this. What I would suggest is, again, in the show notes, I will put my free prenatal pelvic floor masterclass, also my free prenatal pelvic floor guide. Both of those walk you through how to do the flower bloom breath. So how to relax your pelvic floor for birth. And then what you want to do is practice. So then when you get into labor, that it's not something totally new for your body, that you've done it lots of times. And like I said before, you might need a reminder, maybe from your partner, maybe from a doula, but it's not going to be something totally new for your body. Another strategy to practice is thinking of options of what could you listen to keep you focused during labor. I've done a podcast episode on this prior as well that you're always welcome to check out. But I thought it'd be good to revisit it in this episode because, again, this is something you want to practice in pregnancy and not just listen to whatever you choose to listen to for the first time in labor. It can be helpful if you've never listened to it before, but it happens to be relaxing. But we know through research that actually listening to, for example, specific birth meditation or affirmation audio tracks like hypnobirthing, or there's so many variations of that. If you listen to it over and over in pregnancy and then turn it on in labor, your nervous system will tune into it so much easier. It brings you back to that deep state of relaxation. And on a personal note, I can vouch for this as well, because this worked for me amazingly well in both of my births. I listened to hypnobirthing tracks in pregnancy, going to sleep, and then I turned them back on in labor, and it just kept me very calm and focused on my breathing. There is one that is a bonus inside Bump to Birth. And it's a mix of birth meditation, affirmation. It didn't exist when I was pregnant. Otherwise, I would have used it as well. But it's there for my Bump to Birth students. And it's got flower bloom reminders in it. So again, going back to what I said previously, having those reminders to relax your pelvic floor with your breath can be immensely helpful in labor. And if you want some examples of how audio tracks like this can be helpful, I'll link in the show notes as well Caitlin's birth story. So she used this birth-specific meditation track with the flower bloom breath. She listened to it over and over in pregnancy, going to sleep, and she was so calm during her labor that when she went to the birth center and met with her midwives, they didn't really believe how far along she was, because she was breathing, she was moving through her contractions very calmly and in control. And so they said, you know what, why don't you go for a walk? And she said, no, like things are getting close. Like, I'm not going for a walk, I'm staying. So she consented to a cervical exam. And when they checked her, she was 9 centimeters dilated. And it just goes to show you that it's not just the physical prep. This, I would say, what you're listening to, like a meditation or music or nature sounds, this would go under mental prep for birth. So you can see how powerful the mental prep can be. It actually will help you physically when you're in labor as well. Jen is another birth story that I'll link, and she used that birth affirmation meditation track. And it helped her in pregnancy so that she could sleep through the night. She wasn't getting up to pee the same way she was prior to listening to it, which obviously gave her more energy the next day, which was helpful. But she also in labor used it on her drive to the hospital. So while her husband drove her, she had this playing in the car, and it just helped her stay really calm and focused on her breathing, even during that ride. And for anyone who's given birth before, and if you've given birth in a hospital, even if your drive is 5 minutes, it can feel like five times as long. It doesn't matter how fast whoever's driving you there or slow that they're going, it can just feel like a very long ride, longer than it actually is. So having something to listen to is helpful. Also, because in a vehicle, you can't necessarily get into the labor position that you want to get into. You're kind of confined to a space that doesn't allow you to move as much. So another great time to actually use a birth meditation track. Some other options aside from a birth meditation would be listening to music. So maybe there's certain types of music that keep you fairly relaxed, or nature sounds are great as well. So just going through different options of what you could listen to keep you focused on each surge or contraction during labor is going to be really helpful. And then listening to those options while you go to sleep, which is one of your deepest states of relaxation, or potentially maybe a bath if you're really into baths during pregnancy, or if you're taking naps, those are great times to listen to something that you may decide you want to listen to in labor. Another strategy, I would say it's more of a strategy than an exercise, would be starting to ask questions in prenatal appointments before the end of pregnancy, because you'll find they don't always come up until the very end. You might be asked, do you have any questions around labor? And then you're not really sure what to ask at that point. And it also feels pretty late because labor could happen at any point. So researching ahead of time, you know, using resources. This is something I go through with clients in Bump to Birth, of different questions to ask your care provider earlier on or throughout your prenatal appointments, which will help you be more informed going into labor as well. So for example, if you're preferring not to have an epidural, you could ask your care provider what percentage of their clients have epidurals versus not, because that'll give you an idea of what is the support going to be like for me if I want to have a physiologic birth? What options are available where you're planning to give birth? So for example, at a hospital, you know, are there tubs? Are there showers? Are there birth balls? Are there peanut balls? You know, what are the different items available, or what are different strategies that the staff might help you with to help you move through labor as well? And the same thing if you're preferring an epidural, you know, asking questions around how does that work? What are the steps involved? What is available prior to having an epidural? So you really feel like you're choosing to have an epidural versus feeling like, oh, I've got no other options. This is my only option. So those are types of questions. There's many you can go through. You may have heard of induction. So you may have questions around induction before the end of pregnancy, before it gets brought up. So you could ask your care provider, what are the induction rates, or what percentage of your clients have inductions? Do you support me going past my due date? When does induction typically come up? How is that decision made? So there's many, many topics around birth, and maybe the ones I've mentioned so far you haven't even thought about yet, which is totally common and totally fine. And it's one of those things of, that's why, you know, listening to episodes like this and learning information and gaining resources is helpful, because it'll help you consider things that you hadn't thought about before. And one other thing I would bring up around asking questions, and this is something you could use in your prenatal appointments, but you could also use during birth as well, is the BRAIN acronym. So this is something for you and your partner to know, because if a suggestion does come up, and let's say you hadn't heard of it before, you hadn't researched it, no one had mentioned it, so you're not actually really sure what it is, or even what questions to ask about it, the BRAIN acronym can help with all of those. So BRAIN stands for, what are the benefits? What are the risks? What are the alternatives? So that would be around the suggestion. And then I stands for, what does your intuition say? Like, what does your gut say about the information you were just given. And then N would be, what if we do nothing, or what if we have more time? Because I think so many don't realize, especially going into your first, that you actually can say no. That is part of informed decision making. Informed decision making doesn't just equal consent. It's consent and also called informed refusal. So with the information you've received, you can actually say, you know what, that doesn't feel like the best decision for me and baby. And it could be right now it doesn't feel like the best, and maybe you want to revisit it later. Maybe it's something that you want more time to think about, that in this moment it doesn't feel like the right decision, but you want time to think about it to make a final decision. There's always options around that. So the BRAIN acronym can be so, so helpful for you and for your partner. So going back to the beginning of today's episode, I really hope that the examples I've given, the suggestions I brought up, can help you take that next step towards taking action in your birth prep. And when you take action, the best part, it's going to help you feel more calm and confident heading into birth, both the physical prep and the mental prep. And something so many of my clients are surprised to say when they're getting close to the due date, kind of the last time that we see each other before they give birth, and they say they're actually excited to give birth. And depending where you are in pregnancy and in your birth prep process, maybe you are at that excitement point, but you also might be hearing like, that's actually possible. Like, I actually can feel excited about giving birth. And that's where the prep comes in. And that's where taking action comes in, that yes, you get to that point and you feel like, okay, I've researched, I've learned options, I feel informed, my partner feels informed in that they have options to support you. And then the next step is labor happening. And then you now have those tools to navigate. Even if birth takes a turn, if something comes up, you are informed and feel confident of questions you can ask of how to navigate that situation. And that is what also can contribute to a positive birth experience. So I'm so glad that you tuned into today's episode. I would love to hear from you. As always, you can send me a DM on Instagram. You can reach me and Jess at To Birth and Beyond Podcast. And you can also reach me at Holistic Health Physio. I would love to hear from you. And as mentioned before, I'll make sure in the show notes that some of those past birth stories are linked, as well as my free prenatal pelvic floor masterclass and free prenatal pelvic floor guide.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the To Birth and Beyond podcast. You can find any links or resources we discussed in the show notes at tobirthandbeyond.com.
And if you enjoyed today's show, we would love for you to leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to the To Birth and Beyond podcast in iTunes or Stitcher.